The reading for today is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with him there is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities.
Thanks, Bob. Sermon this morning is The Lost Art of Patience. We'd like to start with this idea. How many of you recently have said of yourself, I'm terribly busy, dreadfully busy, I'm busy, busy, busy? Any of you talked about how busy you are? Yeah. Busy, busy, busy. It's a great piece. Thanks, Gary. There's a great piece in this morning's New York Times by Tim Creedon about busyness and about how often we just pour stuff into our lives, more activities, more things, more stuff. And really, what are we running from? What are we trying not to think about? What are we occupying our time? What are we not occupying our time with when we're acting so busy? And that made me think of my kids, who don't keep me as busy as they used to at ages 19 and almost 16. Not nearly as busy as they used to, but there was a time when they did keep me very busy. And I was already busy growing a church. I was working here full time and going in 400 directions at once. Now I only go in 173 directions at once. But I was busy all the time, and there was an audible hum wherever I was going. And there was two times in the day, when I wasn't busy. It was every morning in that parsonage when I leaned my head out the bathroom window upstairs looking out into the backyard and had my prayer time with God. It didn't matter the weather. I'd get soaked, I'd get sleet, I'd get sunburned, but always, every morning. And then every night at story time, just before bed. And recently, my lovely wife, the librarian, was in a conversation with a bunch of her colleagues at Bloomfield, and they had young children, and they were talking about bedtime, and she started mentioning several of our favorite books, and they had heard of none of them. So my wife ordered through Amazon all these books, and she's starting a parents' library for her colleagues where they can pull these great kids' books. Well, the books started coming into the house, getting delivered by the mail, one and two at a time. And we and our 19-year-old, and when he's home, our 15-year-old, started cracking open these books again and reading them. And it took us back to another time. But I remember well the only times that I was really patient, when I really waited for the Lord or waited for that kid's eyes to close. And I would read to them. Nowadays, I'm much better at patience, and I'm much better at pursuing quiet time, because I realize quiet time for the Christian is not a luxury. It's an expectation from God and a gift from God to take that quiet time. And it made me think, when I thought of wisdom and patience and quiet time, it made me think of a chapter in the greatest book in the world, aside from the Bible, The World of Pooh by A.A. Milne. This particular beat-up edition is the one that my mom and dad read out of to me. It was actually a gift to my brother Kevin on what would have been his 7th birthday. And it's still going strong in our house. The kids don't listen to it anymore, but the wife and I still read it. And this is the beginning of chapter 6 of The House at Pooh Corner in which Pooh invents a new game and Eeyore joins in. The game, of course, is going to be Pooh Sticks. You remember Pooh Sticks? All right. Gary, you got time? Yeah? Good? All right. We're good. I've seen your schedule, and Gary's schedule for the farm on Sunday from 10 to 11, there's an XXXX where nothing's done because he's worshiping, and that's awesome stuff. But anyway, the beginning of the sixth chapter in which Pooh invents a new game and Eeyore joins in. By the time it came to the edge of the forest, the stream had grown up so that it was almost a river. And, being grown up, it did not run and jump and sparkle along as it used to do when it was younger, but moved more slowly, for it knew now where it was going. And it said to itself, "There is no hurry. We shall get there someday." But all the little streams higher up in the forest went this way and that, quickly, eagerly, having so much to find out before it was too late. I love that. I'm not a little stream anymore. The time was when I was in this church, I'd be running up and down the aisle, sticking my toes in the communion cup holders, hiding wherever I could, going where I shouldn't. But I'm not a little stream anymore. I still hurry sometimes more than I should. And sometimes, perhaps I'm not the best example of the unhurried Christian. I posted two things on my Facebook page today. They got more reaction than much that I've posted in a long time. The first one was a picture of my late Uncle Al and a paragraph memorializing him as the man that I knew. And the second one was a picture of a sunset from a few nights ago. We had a series of incredible sunsets. And I put that picture up, and I quoted from another of my favorite books. And the quote was, "Oh, good night stars, good night air, good night noises everywhere," from Good Night Moon, another one of my favorite books. And that quote, man, that got people. All these moms saying, "Oh, my favorite book. I love that book. It's such a great book." And everyone stopping in front of their little cathode screen or LED screen and looking at a picture of a sunset and thinking about reading their kids Goodnight Moon or their little brothers or sisters and just thinking about the slowdown, the patience, the stopping everything else in the world and just being in a sacred, sleepy moment with someone you love dearly. The thing about silence is, I'm very fond of saying, is like God, silence is always there in our lives. We just cover it up. We throw junk on top of it. We have a blank calendar page and we fill it with ink blots. We turn our radios up and we get involved in frenzied conversations that have nothing to do with anything that's really vital or important to us. We make ourselves busy. We churn. And the silence waits for us. Always waits for us. And in that silence, that still, small voice is one of the most sacred places where God dwells in your life all of the time. All of the time. We live in a frenzied world. And people want us to jump and run. And God help us, there are times when we want to do anything but be alone with ourselves and our thoughts. The lost art of patience comes from this attack on silence. It comes from us inside not waiting patiently for the Lord. Now, in that psalm that Bob just read, it's quite clear that the writer of the psalm is struggling with things inside himself. He mentions his own iniquities. He mentions his own imperfections and the things he's struggling with. In the course of trying to be close to God, he talks about how bad he feels about things he's said and done. And yet, he waits patiently for the Lord. He waits patiently for the Lord because God has promised love. God has promised forgiveness and acceptance and love. And just like that little kid sitting in a bed listening to love in a bedtime story that's being read, God is always ready to sit next to us. Maybe tell us a story. Maybe just stand watch while we close our eyes for a time. The lost art of patience is that which we need most. You know, I've had a few people in my life who have been that person whose mere presence in a room makes everything okay. My mom was that person for most of my life. But you still make the cut, Mom. I don't. A person whose mere presence helps you to... The kind of person who walks into a crazy room and makes everything better again. That was this week for me as I'm preparing to go on vacation, and Teresa and I are working through all these plans, and I've got all this stuff that I wanted to get done and off my desk before I left for 2 weeks of vacation, and I was frenzied this week. Frenzied. And where I sit in my office, my back door is always unlocked here, the back door, and I can hear anyone when they're coming in. Now, earlier I had not heard the stained glass window woman come in. She came in and she checked out all the windows and took pictures and walked around while I was in my office. I never even knew she was here because I was too busy. But I hear the door open and close, and in walks another one of those people that has the instant effect of calming me down. It was Ed Kennedy, Reverend Ed Kennedy, who somehow, strangely enough, crosses my path whenever I need him most. A couple times a year, he just appears. And he sat with me and talked with me for about an hour and a half in my office. And we talked about everything. We talked about the church and where it was going and our plans. We talked about my family and where it was going and the plans. And we talked about how wonderful it is sometimes not to have plans and just how wonderful it is to have the love of God in your life. And I am sometimes that person. When I walk into a hospital room or a funeral planning or the hardest one of all, a wedding. And my job is to be God's better angel. My job is to be patient, non-anxious, to listen, to hear, to celebrate, and possibly to cry along. But it all begins with God's love for us and that forgiveness. Just as the psalmist said, it all begins with God saying to us, look, I love you. Can't you please love yourself? Give yourself a break. Stop running long enough to sit and be still and know that God is God. The next psalm, Psalm 131, goes like this. By the same author, by David again. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. While we're here alone, while the jumping and meandering little young streams are out in the lawn, as I bury my uncle, who was so crazy most of the time, who only when they started taking off body parts due to his diabetes did he learn the art of patience and acceptance. But learn it he did. My friends, the only thing that keeps us from God's peace is us. The only thing between you and rest is you. The only thing that keeps you from enjoying the moment in life is focusing on the moments that aren't even here yet. One of the last things Ed said to me before he left this week, as I was talking about my kids and all the directions they were going and all my plans, he said, "You know, the past cannot be changed. The future is a dream. The present is all we ever get to live in." Pretty profound. I would like to take this moment right now. This moment, you're here anyway, right? There's no roast burning at home, right? You didn't leave the car running, I hope, right? You're here right now. Whether you're thinking about things out there or not, you have no effect on them at this point. You've prayed for those things. You've given them to God. You are here in this room right now with a bunch of brothers and sisters who are here as well. And the Spirit of God who is here as well. And right now, for a couple of minutes, why don't we abide with God in silence? Let's have time of silence, my friends, for it preaches far better than any words. O great, wondrous God, you who know us better than we know ourselves and love us more than we could ever possibly love ourselves. Dear God, rescue us from the tyranny of things which are urgent but not important. Rescue us from our own hurried, harried ways. Rescue us from those voices inside that tell us we somehow aren't yet worthy, somehow we don't quite yet measure up. Fill us, dear God, with your peace, your patience, your wisdom. Help us, dear God, to always feel it and find it. Lead on, O great God of both the dashing spring and the wide, slowly moving river. O great God of the late night story, of the sunrise and the sunset, of all points in between. Help us, dear God, to rediscover the lost art of patience, to be found in your arms. Amen.